Perfect. I see. Okay, can you hear me? Yeah, I had a couple of people say they can hear. Okay, thanks, Trish. Thanks, Sarah. All right, let's get these announcements and get coaching. So, watch your emails this week. You will get instructions for upgrading the Private Member podcast. Some of you have already received that email. Some of you will get yours in the next few days. I heard they're releasing like 1,000 members at a time, approximately. So if you haven't gotten it yet, you will release soon. Be patient. But if you have any questions, you can email Samantha at support@pmp.com. Tomorrow, of course, is the next installment of the Binge Better with guest coach Jane Pilcher. And that's tomorrow, December 8th, 5 p.m. Central Time. On Wednesday, Yesenia, Coach Yesenia will be the No BS Q&A Facebook Live Wednesday morning, 9 a.m. And we'll have a special public Facebook Live with Corinne on Thursday at 9 a.m. on her public page. And she's going to be talking about how to use your why for weight loss. And then Coach Judith will be doing office hours on Thursday at 5 p.m. Central. And then Corinne is back coaching Saturday, 10 a.m. on weekend overeating. So don't forget, all calls are Central Time. I'm personally in Mountain Time, so I have to remember that. And check your training calendar or the website for more details. So lots of coaching opportunities for all of us. So make sure that if you're in the chat, you have all panelists and attendees going. And you can raise your hand. I'm going to do a quick intro and then we'll get started coaching. So thanks for being here. So, yay, this is my first call. I'm Julie Hanks. I have been a member of No BS since September 2019. I spent most of my life a fairly fit, athletic human, and then I took a really bad fall. And after seven surgeries on my hand and arm and shoulder, I was left with a disability on that side of my body and so much pain. And at the time, the only way I knew how to deal with pain, at least that's what I thought, was eating. And the few minutes that I ate something that tasted delicious, I didn't notice my pain. So I practiced thoughts around pain specifically in food. And then a colleague of mine posted about her weight loss journey on Instagram. And she had a hashtag PNP at the time. And I was really curious what that was. She seemed so fit and athletic. And I had no idea that she had a weight loss journey at all. And it made me really curious. And that was August 2019. And I looked up PNP and started listening to the public podcast, and that September I joined. So I have approximately 120 pounds to lose, and I'm halfway through my journey. And really, what changed everything for me was listening to Corinne talk about thought work. And that really changed my life, becoming the master of my own mind and managing my thoughts around food and life and pain, particularly. And so that's what I do. And I have some great accountability partners, and I have an awesome husband and a German Shepherd dog. And I know some of you know, but if you haven't heard, I am a competitive stair climber. So I travel around the country and climb really tall towers. So I am not doing that too much this year with COVID. I did climb the Stratosphere in Las Vegas right before COVID really took hold in the country. But it is my goal to get back up the World Trade Center again and then all over the world. So that's a little about me, but I mostly just want to welcome you to this call. Thanks for coming and participating. And I'm going to see who we have here with a hand raised, and we'll do some coaching. So I have Karen. I'm about ready to bring you up, Karen. So, Karen, as you come on, I'm going to ask you to unmute and to start. Oh,
Start video. There
start
we
your
go.
video. You're an expert.
Okay. Oh, I have a Zoom call every Friday night with some friends of mine. So
lovely. Hi, Karen.
Yeah. Hi. Thanks for calling me up. I've been a member of No BS since June of 2020. Okay. And I've lost about 30 pounds so far. Have about 40 more to go. And I lost my husband 15 months ago. And although last year was technically my first Christmas without him, we moved the day after Christmas. My grandson and I lived together. And so like last Christmas was such turmoil that this feels like the first Christmas without him. And so, you know, I've spent a lot of time doing thought work, and I've listened and done some calls with Krista St. Germain. I don't know if you're okay. Then, of course, I learned that her through Corinne. But right now, I'm wondering if how to tell the difference between allowing and feeling my feelings versus wallowing, and the difference between choosing new thoughts and repressing my feelings. I can't seem to distinguish them.
Yeah. So allowing versus wallowing. So tell me what you are thinking about when you look back, and what you, when you're saying allowing versus wallowing, what feelings are you allowing, and tell me about the wallowing.
Well, it seems like every moment that I'm not at work, I'm thinking about him, and, and that's even before Christmas, but it just seems like even more so since Thanksgiving. I was doing pretty well up until Thanksgiving, and it was always kind of a joke in our house that Christmas doesn't start until the dishes are done on Thanksgiving. Well, that's when I started to take a nosedive and had trouble following my plans. And I've been planning, but I've had trouble staying on the plan since that date. And I did fine through Thanksgiving dinner, but after that, it's just, I've struggled. And so, I mean, it's every day that I'm in tears, every day.
So when you think about him, what do you feel?
Oh, golly, like half of me is gone. We were so very close for 40 years.
Yeah. So what's the feeling that you would associate with that thought, half of me is gone? Sadness or?
Sadness and
loneliness.
Yeah. A lot of loneliness.
So when you feel lonely, what do you do?
Well, up until Thanksgiving, I pretty much would tell myself, okay, this is just a thought. Food isn't going to help anything. And since then, it's been, I don't care.
Well, what is the problem with feeling lonely?
And I'm afraid I'm going to get stuck and not move forward.
Okay. So tell me more about the lonely though. When does it come? How does it come?
As soon as I get home from work, well, sometimes it even starts on my way home from work because we always talked on the way home from work. It starts there and it just goes on all evening until the next morning.
Okay.
When I get up in the morning, I'm okay. It's just the time that I used to spend with him.
So what else do you do when you feel lonely? I know you think about him more, but what other things do you do?
Sit and cry.
Yeah.
Sure. That's mostly it.
Is there anything else?
No, I don't think so. I try to distract sometimes. I quilt, so I try to go in and work on some quilts or something, but sometimes it's just, it feels debilitating and just sit and have the TDL.
Okay. You've done some TDLing. Have you done any journaling?
Oh, I journal every day. Yeah.
Oh, great.
I don't feel like I'm making any progress with it. Maybe that's just another thought.
Yeah. What progress do you think you should be making? And I'm cautioning myself even in the should, but I'm trying to understand what progress you would like to be making.
I feel like I should be able to use my thought work to feel better some and not spend every single day crying.
Well, let me ask you, after the crying, how do you feel?
I'd say probably 60% of the time I feel better, but about 40% of the time it lingers for the rest of the night. And if it's a weekend, this past weekend, it was the whole weekend.
Okay.
Even though I did try to go get out of the house to go do some things, just any time that I'm completely by myself, I feel like that.
Okay. So have you done the No BS Module 2, Unit 7, the Feel the Feelings section? Have you, do you know what I'm referring to? Okay.
Yeah.
Have you done that?
But I did several weeks ago now, so maybe I should go back and try that again.
Well, it might be a worthwhile task because the way you're describing your loneliness and the crying, well, it sounds like you're actually processing through that feeling. And I wonder, what do you want to feel instead of loneliness?
I think like there, I might have something to look forward to.
Mm-hmm. So you want to have the thought, I want something to look forward to, and how does that feel?
Like I'm not there yet.
What feeling, like when you think the thought, I want something to look forward to, feeling
that still makes me sad?
Yeah. So what if you just are in a place where you want to be sad right now?
I did think of that because I've I heard other people be coached and think, okay, well maybe that's right, but I think I'm afraid I'm going to get stuck. Maybe I just need to come to the realization that this is really the first Christmas without him, to really feel things. So maybe that's just the way this is going to be this year.
Well, okay. So you think you're going to get stuck and it causes you fear.
Yes.
But really you're just thinking stuck means something, but there is no stuck, right? Because we all grieve differently for whatever period of time is right for us. So stuck is just your thought, and that thought is causing you fear, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we could try a different thought instead of stuck and see if we can get you out of that place of fear. Because what if I told you that that's just you? It might be where you're at, that you could be exactly where you're supposed to be right now.
And that would just feel better. Yeah.
And you're just telling yourself you're going to get stuck, but that's just your thought and that's normal. But we can redirect that, right? And since it's a thought, it's an optional choice for you. So we can choose something else, right? So what do you want to believe in the moment right now? Excuse me.
That this is normal.
Yeah. And when you think this is normal, how does that feel?
That feels better, actually.
So tell me an actual feeling, like inside, better than sadness and loneliness, but what is the actual feeling?
Maybe hopeful. Like there is hope.
Okay. What does hopeful feel like in your body? Like, just do a quick body scan. Just think about all your different parts of your body. Like,
okay. So I've done the now for grief, and it feels like it feels gray and like it's kind of foamy, I guess. And like it takes the shape of the inside of my body. If I think of hopeful, that starts to dissipate.
Oh, that's great. So you're hopeful, that grayness that takes the shape of your body starts to dissipate. And when you're hopeful, what do?
Start to look forward to the future a little bit. Like there might be something to look forward to.
Okay, you look forward. But when you're feeling sad and lonely, do you just let that be?
I have been.
Yeah, that's great. That seems like a great place to be right now for you.
Well, that helps to know. I was afraid that I was just wallowing and repressing. So, yeah, talking through that helps some. Yes.
Okay, good. Is there anything else?
No, I don't think so. I think just needed to talk about it. So
thank you for sharing that with me, Karen.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm going to put you back down to an attendee. Thank you.
And thank you.
Bye now. Thank you.
Bye.
All right. Anyone else? I've got Mary Jo with your hand up. So I'm going to bring you up. And Mary Jo, I'm going to ask you to start your video and unmute yourself.
How do you start your video?
What kind of device are you on, Mary Jo?
I'm on a Mac.
Okay. So I am clicking the spot where there would normally be an invitation to start your video, and there is no option for that. So I'm wondering if maybe you have Zoom disabled so it can't be used for video. Up in your we'll try really quick, and otherwise we'll talk without it. I don't want you to worry.
Okay.
But up in the corner of your video screen, there should be a button that where the mute is, and there should also be a little video symbol for you if you are allowing it. And we'll just move on.
I have audio, microphone, speaker. I don't have anything for video. I'm sorry.
It's okay. I see that too. But let's just talk with you here. It's a little unconventional, but we're going to go for it. Okay.
And I appreciate it.
Yeah. Thanks for
really. My husband committed suicide in July of 2019. Mm. And we had been married almost 29 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very hard. And I think all suicides are hard, so I'm not that, but he did it in the house, and we were there, and we heard it. Mm. And we saw it once the door was open. So it was a mess. And I have adult kids, but I don't care how old your kids are, they're still your kids. So
I think you're finally coming through with the ask to start the video. I'm sorry that happened in the middle of your story, though. It just took a really long time.
There we go. Right. Can you hear me?
I can. Poor timing, but thank you.
No, it's all good. I'm just so glad you kept working on it.
Yeah.
So the last few years of the marriage hadn't been good. He suffered mental, physical issues. And so, honestly, my life is better and calmer with him gone.
Mm-hmm.
And that, to me, that thought carries a lot of guilt.
Mm.
Somehow I'm doing better. That somehow my future is better. But it is. I'm not constantly fighting him about money issues. I've had to downsize my FSA now twice, mm-hmm. because I'm just not spending the money that I was putting into it the way I was when he was alive. So even I joined No BS, it was PNP then, in September of 2019, because I really wanted to get a handle on me. I haven't lost much, and I think a lot of it is there are times I don't forgive myself. I'm a fixer. I like to fix things, and this one I didn't fix. This one I think I failed. I failed my kids. I didn't protect them. I failed my late husband. And now I'm failing him even more because I'm having a better life. Now, how twisted up is that?
Well, I hear some judgment there, but.
Oh, heaven, yes, there's judgment. Oh, heck yeah. Yeah. So, you know, the previous person talked about Krista. Krista is lovely, and I am in her program, and it's a good program. I'm still working through it, and I'm just looking for some insight on this. You know, I believe in Novius. I believe in Krista's program too. I don't know if I believe in me.
Yeah. So you feel guilt. You're not forgiving yourself. You feel responsible. You think you're responsible.
Yep.
Yeah. So you think you're responsible. You feel guilt. And what do you do?
I don't do self-care. Okay. Here's the wild thing. This all occurred in July. And I had signed up for an online master's program. And it started 3 weeks after he died. Mm-hmm. And I did start it. And I continue on it. And I'm almost halfway done. So I have committed to that. And I'm doing well at that. I have a full-time job. But I think in a lot of ways, I'm keeping my brain busy. But I'm not really dealing. You know, I'm kind of pushing it down.
Mm-hmm.
And I can bury it even better with food.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I neglect self-care. I'll keep myself busy all day. And when I finally need to go to sleep, it's like, well, did you wash your face? Did you brush your teeth? No, I'm too tired. I got to go sleep. And start it all over. You know, it's just. Please.
What? So you feel guilt. And you don't take care of yourself. You listed off not doing self-care and keeping your mind busy and food. But what do you want to think? Like, if you could dream your future self looking back at this time, what would you want to think?
I would want to go back to myself now and kiss myself on the forehead and say, you did the best you could with what you have.
Yeah.
It's a damn thing. And you can do anything if you just would allow yourself to do it.
So if you thought, I did the best I could, what does that make you feel?
Makes me feel far lighter. Mm-hmm. But I don't have this heavy, oppressive blanket.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what you're in mountain zone. If you ever came to St. Louis in the middle of the summer, humidity is like a wet, heavy, damp blanket.
Mm-hmm.
This is even worse, you know? But it's a lot like humidity.
Yeah. So, all right. But there's a big space between the I don't forgive myself and feeling guilt and the I did the best I could and feeling lighter. So I'm going to ask you the same thing I asked our previous caller, just because it's such helpful work. But have you had the opportunity to do the Feel the Feelings work on some of your guilt, which is the module 2, unit 7 of NoBS, where you kind of process through a feeling?
I have done it. Yeah.
And how was that for you?
I have to say I probably rushed through it.
Well, tell me about how guilt shows up inside your body. How does it feel?
Feels like an emptiness in the pit of my stomach. Mm-hmm. Like someone carved out a hole. And it seems sometimes to strike from nowhere. You know, I can be driving and see something that reminds me of him or of our life together or those, you know, last few years. Because we had a lot of good times. He was not a bad person. So there are happy memories. But, yeah, you know, the guilt and the sadness just feels, you know, the guilt really feels like someone has taken a knife.
And what specific thought do you have that generates guilt?
He's not here and I'm doing better.
Okay. And you feel guilt, and then you do all those things, but you want to think, I did the best I could.
When I think logically, when I think objectively, when I think about what would I say if someone came to me and told me what had happened to them and it was exactly what happened to me, what would I say to them?
Mm-hmm.
I would say, did you do the best you could at the time it occurred? That's the best you knew,
mm-hmm.
you know, and assuming they said yes, then yes, you know, but I have more compassion for them than I have for myself.
Well, that's just familiar thinking though, right? I mean, even though this is our grief call, it's sort of your old shitty thoughts coming in that you're listening to. Yeah. And you know, like Corinne talks about that all the time and how we listen to them and they kind of fool us. But
I got old shit from, you know, as swag for the January camp, which I'm signed up for. So
that's great. Yeah. So I mean, what do we think you could practice when those thoughts come in that get you back towards your I did the best I could? So where I'm thinking is he's not here and I'm doing better. Like I'm happier, you said, I'm doing better. And then that generates guilt?
Yeah, because
yeah,
I spent so much time taking care of him and taking care of the house because he was unable or unwilling to. That at this point, with him gone, I don't have to take care of him.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of other things that either I don't care about getting done or just, you know, because I've got the funds. I mean, if I need to run somewhere and I don't have the time, I've got the funds now. I can do Instacart.
But what if he's not here and I'm doing better? Like, what if that is absolutely okay? It's your judgment that's not making it okay.
Oh, I would totally agree that that is probably it. You know,
yes.
It's me trying to figure out the tool or what to practice so that the illogical part believes in what we've said.
So I kind of practice this technique that I call thought interruptus. And it literally, I know it's a little silly, but it's like literally stopping a thought and saying like, wait a minute, you know, yes, this thought, you know, can generate guilt, but actually I'm really happier and it's okay that I'm happier. Like it's actually okay that I'm happier. And so, yeah, guilt, you can come on in. Like I'm going to feel that for a second and then like, no, you got to go. I actually don't feel guilty. I really am happier. And that's okay.
I like that.
You know, letting some of those, it's like tricky because yours is not really an old shitty thought. It's sort of an old shitty feeling, but it's not really a feeling you're actually feeling because you're actually feeling happier. And then you tell yourself there's guilt, you know? And you can just be happy. It's okay. And so when that thought comes in that, you know, he's not here and I'm actually better, happier. And when that guilt starts to come into your body, you can let it come in, but then you can remind yourself like, no, actually, like that's just my practiced habit of what I say to myself and what I feel, but I really am happier. And what does the happy feel like when the guilt doesn't come in and you feel happy? Tell me what that feels like, Mary Jo.
Oh, it's strong and it's bright and it's far lighter. It doesn't carry, you know, just the weight. I mean, it's just, I feel like I could do anything, you know? I mean, when I'm working on this degree, you know, and I'm totally submerged in it, I'm in a zone, you know? I just, you know, I'm a very geeky person, so it's just... But yeah, I'm in the zone and I'm enjoying it very, very much.
Okay. So when you think he's gone and you're happier and you actually allow happiness as the feeling to come into your body and you do those great things for yourself, can you sit there and do, I think sometimes we think that feel the feelings always has to be negative. But it seems like for you, it'd be really great with that happiness that you feel to really notice the difference between the guilt feeling and what it does in your body and the happiness feeling and how it is in your body, and like really get grounded in that feeling and use the feel the feelings to support yourself and really be with that happiness and allow it. Is that something you're willing to try?
Writing it down. That's why I'm not, I don't want to lose this. That's a very good point. I like, Julie, I like that thought a lot, is to not rush through them, to actually sit in them and enjoy them and say, hey, you know, this is what you want to be working toward feeling more.
Right.
Not just when you're doing the studies.
Yeah. When you think the thought, he's not here and I'm happier, let that feeling of happiness like really engulf your entire body and do the feel the feelings, but with joy as a, and happiness, obviously is your word, instead of the guilt, and see how that goes for you.
I like that. Thank you so much. And you're doing a great job tonight.
I'm very glad
you are doing this at this time, because this is a tricky time for a lot of people.
Thank you so much for that. You take care.
You too.
Okay. I'm going to put you back down to panel, to attendee. Hi there, everybody. Is there anybody else who wants to raise their hand and get coached? I'll look through some of the chat. If you have specific questions, you can put them in the Q&A. And I will look through the chat for a minute here. And oh, Patty just raised her hand. So I'm going to bring her on, promote her to panelist. Hi, Patty.
Hi. Hi, how are you?
Hi there. I'm well. I've got you on sound and I'm going to ask you to start your video. Thanks for raising your hand.
Okay, there we go.
Hi.
Hi. I'm getting weird noises here. Hold on. I lost my brother this year in January, suddenly. Mm-hmm. And I'm struggling, as you can tell. I'm sorry, my phone's starting to die on top of it.
Okay.
It's just been really a struggle this time of the year. My brother loved Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And we all, you know, we lost our parent. My husband and I have lost all four of our parents in a very close amount of time. My dad and his dad right after Christmas, within a month of each other. Then this past year, on January 21st, I was 20th, I was talking to my brother, and I'm one of six kids. We were in a group chat, and the last thing my brother said to me was, I can't wait to see you in 2 weeks, at 9 o'clock at night, and 4 o'clock in the morning, my niece called me and told me he was gone. Mm-hmm. And it's been a tough year because that happened, and then 1 week later, one of my students died in a tragic. I'm a middle school teacher. And a week and a day after my brother passed, one of my students had a dirt bike accident and died from the injuries. And a week after that, my aunt died. Mm-hmm. So that's been my 2020. And then I went into March 13th, I went into shut down for the quarantine. And I've been teaching special ed from home since March 13th mm-hmm. with my two kids home with me. So it's just really been a difficult year. I'm still home virtual with my kids. My son has depression and anxiety. At one point was telling me he wanted to kill himself on top mm-hmm. of it. So it's just all very overwhelming this year.
Yeah.
Now, in the first time in 52 years, I did not spend Thanksgiving with my sister because of COVID. You know, in a time when we all kind of really needed to be together, we couldn't. So I'm just really struggling right now with it. So,
yeah.
It's just a whole boatload.
Yeah. I'm just taking in what you said. So what would you want to be thinking about with all the things that you said to me?
I guess I feel like I'm the one that's trying to keep the boat afloat here. As far as my kids, having Christmas, I'm trying to remind myself daily of positives because we also had our first grandchild this year. I have an older son. We have an older son. My stepson's 31. So we just had our first granddaughter in April. I'm trying to remind myself, okay, 2020 wasn't all bad, But when I find myself kind of trying to overdo it, I feel like I'm trying to keep things as normal as possible for my kids. But meanwhile, I feel like I'm drowning in all this.
Mm. Yeah.
So
trying to keep things as normal as possible. What does that mean exactly?
That's a good question. Cause I say that, and there's times where I'm just, I'm trying to keep our traditions, as much. I don't know. Sometimes I think it's probably more for me than them.
Mm-hmm.
As far as things we've always done, we always went to see Christmas lights with my parents for my son's birthday. It was last Friday. So we went and saw Christmas lights, as a family, So the kids are able to say, oh, Grammy loved when we saw this, or, wasn't it funny when Poppy did this, so they can do that with them. They're still struggling quite a bit with the loss of my brother. They were very close to my brother. They lived in Maine, and we've never been able to go see my sister-in-law since he passed in January. when he passed away, they had 8 feet of snow. So we haven't even had that. So I feel like that's always still been kind of hanging there.
Mm-hmm. So when you think to yourself, you want to keep it as normal as possible, how does that actually make you feel?
Overwhelming.
Right. And, yeah. You mentioned overwhelm, and I just wanted to make sure that was the thought that generated it. So let's talk about overwhelm in general. And then we'll apply it in your situation. But overwhelm is kind of this indulgent emotion because it allows us to kind of spin in uncertainty. And it's something our brains kind of do. It keeps you kind of stuck in a moment as opposed to how Corinne recommends us making the very next best decision, even the tiniest best next best decision. And so when you are overwhelmed, you said quite a few things you're doing in terms of trying to keep your normal traditions, but tell me more about you, not necessarily about your kids, but what are you doing when you think you're trying to keep things as normal as possible, but then you're feeling overwhelmed? When you're overwhelmed, what do you do?
I feel like I just keep planning more things. I keep trying to do more, Maybe if I just do this,
And so then you do more and plan more and you continue more overwhelm. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I have the other effect where then I have a drum just sitting there and I'm like, I just can't do anything. Like, you know, Saturday it was just, I said, I just can't. I took a 3-hour nap on Saturday because I have not been sleeping good. Because in addition to the grief, it's the, I'm a special ed teacher and I'm looking, I live in Pennsylvania, just outside of New Jersey. I teach in New Jersey, right near Trenton. And I'm looking at those living conditions of some of my students, and you can't do anything about it on top of dealing with your own issues, you know?
Yeah. So after all the things that you have had happen this year, yourself and your own family, the loss, what do you want to be thinking about that right now?
I took the day off. I messaged my principal and I'm like, I just need to take the day off. Like that was the point I was at, that I couldn't think anymore, you know?
And so what were you thinking that made you, like, what feeling were you having in that? That's part of your overwhelm. Yeah.
I guess too, I don't know. I think there's so many levels to what I'm feeling, honestly.
Yeah.
I miss my brother a lot. My brother was the one that could, we text because he lived in Maine and I live in Pennsylvania. We did a lot of texting. We did a lot of group texts.
Yeah.
And like, you know, you would just get a text like, you know, hey sister or whatever, you know, and, or he would make, you know, he would send funny things to you and stuff. So my sister-in-law was texting me over the weekend, and I think that's kind of when everything really was hitting home. And she told me that they got 6 inches of snow, and I said, oh, I bet, you know. She goes, yeah, I bet Steve's loving that. So we started talking about funny things, because one time he went out to shovel snow and they had like 2 feet. When he came in, he was missing one of his shoes. And she said, where's your shoe? And he goes, I think I lost it in the snow. Oh, I didn't find it until the snow melted, like with the shoelaces sticking up in the air, like months later. So we were talking about that and laughing. And then she sent a picture. She goes, this was the day when Steve said his feet hurt so bad after we've been walking all day. And here he has been walking all day with his shoes on his wrong feet.
So, Connie, you're reminding yourself right here. Look at the joy that you just had in that moment. That the grief that you're feeling, first, is just straight normal. And second, the relationship doesn't end when the person physically is gone. You can still have a relationship with your brother and the other people in your life you've lost this year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, my aunt passed away right after my brother, and that was my dad's best friend, and that was my last living aunt.
Yeah, but the death doesn't take that connection away.
Yeah.
So when you were saying to me, you just, you know, want things to be as normal as possible, in terms of those relationships, you really do get to continue those relationships on now. In this moment.
Yeah, I guess it's just hard. Like I keep telling myself, change just sucks. Because it's just,
So our last caller, you know, we talked about, you know, old shitty thinking. And honestly, that's just old shitty thinking as well. I mean, if you think change, you know, change sucks, then pretty much change is going to suck. And I think it would be good for you to stop that thought in mid-thought and say to yourself, like, I used to think change sucks, but now I'm figuring it out. Or,
well, that's, you know, Thanksgiving was different for us this year, but it was, afterwards I looked at my husband and said, this was good different. Like, it was nice, you know, because it was just the seven of us. It, you know, I 3 kids and then my daughter-in-law and the baby and my husband and I, and it was just us, and I had it catered, And when I said, I'm not cooking, I'm catering. And they were all like, what? Because that's not me. But so it was just nice to just sit down and eat dinner that I didn't have to worry about cooking and cleaning up after.
Yeah.
I think so, Christmas is hard for me to think of.
Yeah. So what do you
think? It's been a struggle since my mom died. And now Steven's not here either. I think that's hard. And I know I'm not going to be together with my brothers and my sister.
So what thought for this Christmas do you want to practice? Do you want to try on?
Which thought do I want? That's a good one. I don't really know right now.
Well, you said that change sucks. So how about change sucks, but I'm figuring it out. One tiny minuscule decision at a time. I'm making the next best decision.
Which is funny because that's my screensaver on my phone. The next right thing is my screensaver on my computer and my phone. And my favorite song from Frozen. So
so if you thought that, then if you thought change sucks, but I'm making the next best decision, I'm figuring it out. How would that make you feel?
Probably better than I do. And I think I keep telling myself when I was reading the chat, and when I'm like, oh my gosh, these people, like, you know, I know I have it. I'm very lucky what I have. I have a very supportive family. My sister-in-law's, my husband has four sisters, are very supportive. My husband's wonderful, you know, and I guess I have to realize that doesn't take the grief part away.
Right? It doesn't. You know, my husband lost both his parents within 48 hours of Christmas, a few years apart. And he's just sad at Christmas. And that's okay. Like, he's just sad at Christmas. And he also has some fun. And he's sad. And he also likes to give and receive a gift. And he's sad. And he also sometimes doesn't want to talk about it. But then he's sad. It's normal. It's okay to be sad and to still work towards, you know, your own positive life.
It's okay. Yeah, I almost think I'm at the point where I'm okay with it being sad. For me, it's the being happy. Like, you know, they're not here. You know, they're here, but they're not here. You know, I think that's the hard part for me.
Yeah, they're here in your heart, though. And if you go back to when you were telling me about the story with your brother and the boot, you were laughing truly and smiling. And I could see it really, that happiness in your heart. And so letting those moments really happen to you as opposed to just sitting in overwhelm when there's a lot of joy in those memories for you, Patty. I can see it. Yeah. Well, take care and good luck to you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you so much for coming on.
Okay.
I'll see you soon. I think it's important for us to all remember as I bring Kendra on that it's okay to be sad and feel all our feelings around our grief. And I'm going to ask you to start your video, Kendra. Hi there.
Hello.
Hi. How are you?
Hi. I am good. Thank you. I already started crying before I even got on here, so bear with me. Okay. So I lost my mom 3.5 years ago. Mm-hmm. And it was very sudden. Nothing. She wasn't ill. She fell. And I watched her die. Excuse me. And I just, it was long enough ago. It was 3.5 years. But I am not, I don't feel like I'm moving forward. It's been so hard. Which I expected it to be hard. I mean, she lived with me. She was my best friend. She was really, like, kind of, I don't want to say my only family from my past, but pretty much she was, I don't have aunts and uncles. I don't really have a father. So her death was, like, an upheaval. And in everybody's life. And then just really struggling with moving forward. And I just am not. And I don't feel like that I am in what I consider to be, which I know is, I've read enough to know there's not a time frame. I got a book and I was like, when, like, how many months does this shit take? Because I want to be done.
Yeah.
And I learned really quick that that's just not how it works. But I still feel so open about her loss.
So you think you're not moving forward? How does that feel?
It feels hard. It feels depressing. It makes me, like, I have happy moments. I mean, if you knew me, you wouldn't ever say, oh, she's stuck in grief, for sure. I have moments that I'm happy. I have a great family of my own. You know, I'm a happy person, but it's like this weighs on me. Mm-hmm. Pretty constant.
Mm-hmm. So when you're thinking you're not moving forward and it's hard, it's depressing.
Yeah.
You bring it along for the ride, but what else do you do?
I let it drive.
Mm-hmm.
I do. And I've learned, and I've done a lot of work on this. And so I knew that I was almost letting it take over. And I don't know how, I don't know where the disconnect is. There's a disconnect from what I know and what I'm living.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't quite figure that out. And I want what I want to feel and what I want to think.
Yeah, tell
is,
me.
Is I want to celebrate her because she was amazing. She was an amazing woman. But there's also a disconnect there. I can't see, because when I think of her, it's this. And I just miss her. And so it's like, I really want to celebrate her, but it's just.
But what if it's not a disconnect? What if that's what grief is for you? You celebrate her and you bring it along for the ride, but you don't let it drive, but you carry it with you.
I feel like it's so heavy. I feel like I've been carrying it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if this is unhealthy at this point. I feel like it's taking a toll on me as a person. Physically, mentally, like, it's just like, my gosh, can I just cross over to this place where I can think of her and be healthy about it instead of think of her and it is such a burden for me?
What if we could let go of the judgment and just agree that everyone's grief process is different? And so, like, if calling it unhealthy actually makes you feel bad, then,
right,
you know, what if it isn't that, though? That's just your thought. You think it's unhealthy, you think you're not moving forward, but you said it's been 3.5 years, so, like, you actually are moving forward. So you're just thinking that you aren't, but this is you, right, moving forward, and it doesn't look yet like how you want it to look, but you're currently telling yourself, I'm not moving forward. And that mm-hmm. makes it feel really hard, but you're kind of not acknowledging at all that you actually are. Like, 3.5 years you've moved forward. Have you celebrated her at all during those 3.5 years?
Yes, very much so. And we do often as a family. And she is definitely, her presence is here. And we celebrate her and her life and what she has done, what she had done in her life. And I feel like I just have almost, I feel obsessed with it sometimes because my kids love her and everybody loved her, but they've, like, come to terms with it and they don't cry all the time about her. And everybody celebrates her in just this way that's healthy, that I feel like is healthy. And I know that's a thought. And I'm over here, like, crying.
Yeah.
Still. And I'm, like, the one that is, like, everybody knows that I'm going to be the one crying about mom still, and
so what are you making crying mean?
I I guess I'm making it mean that I'm not turning any corners, that I can't think of her without crying. And it's just like, I feel the feelings, but I feel like all I do is feel feelings. Yeah. And I'm a sensitive person and I know that, but my God, I'm kind of over feeling all the feelings all of the time.
But it sounds like you're making crying mean something negative or bad, or that feeling the feeling is bad. And so if you're resisting it, right, then it's this constant internal battle. So So that idea of like feeling it and allowing it and embracing it, that now, you know, noticing it and naming it, and then really, like really looking at it, and then, you know, witnessing each of the sensations. Have you done any of that with your feelings about your mom? Like the actual,
I don't think so.
I recommend trying that. You know, even right now, tell me what you're feeling.
I feel embarrassed sometimes because I feel like even my husband, when I walked upstairs, he knew I had been crying. And it was like that like pity look of like, everybody knows, like I'm still there. And it makes me feel, you know, just, it's sometimes it's pure grief. It's just the fact that I lost her and I miss her. And I feel like it's not normal. I feel like a little bit like I'm abnormal. Like people lose their moms. Like it's a thing. Like it happens, you know? I mean,
we're not in everybody's heads, right? So this idea that there is a normal or there is an abnormal, Corinne would tell you that's just all crap. That's your old shitty. Like you're judging yourself so hard, you know?
And I do.
Like if you could like really stop the judgment, like stop those thoughts, interrupt your thoughts and practice, you know, a new thought, doing a latter thought until you believe a new thought. Like, what do you really want to believe?
I really want to believe that I'm just normal, that this is normal. And I don't know grief because I've never had grief like this. And maybe it just doesn't look like I thought it did.
Yes, exactly. Like your thought that it's not normal that it's taken this long, that's just your thought. And the great news about that, honestly, is that you can work on changing that right now. And you're probably not going to believe it right away, but you get to practice your new thought of like, this is just what my normal is. Don't worry about anybody else. This is me. I'm grieving.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And how does that make you feel?
Better. It makes me feel like not abnormal, because abnormal is not fun. Not a good place to be.
Yeah.
It makes me, because there's been times where I just thought, I just cannot do this. Like, I just can't do this. Like, I didn't sign up for this shit, and I'm not interested.
Yeah.
It makes me feel like I can move forward.
So Kendra, as your thoughts come in and you judge yourself, any of your thoughts around not being normal or that the amount of time is somehow wrong or other people are getting it right, other people are just getting it right for them.
Right.
Other people's time frames, shorter or longer, it's just right for them. Like you get to do you on this 100%.
Right.
And so practicing that, like, no, this is my normal and I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
This is my normal and I'm okay with it. Like I can, when I'm in my normal, I can cry and be sad and I can celebrate her and I can do both of those things, but no matter what, I'm the driver.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that because I've been struggling with that because I think my kids are 18 and 19. And I think they don't worry about me, but they kind of say, like, make me feel sometimes a tiny bit, because I'm sensitive about it. So I'm aware of the things, of the looks, you know? And so I would just like to embrace that and just own that this is my process. And
yes.
Yeah.
I love that for you.
Yeah. I didn't think that grief looked like this, I think.
That's okay. Your brain was just wrong. It couldn't have known what grief was like for you because this is your first loss that you identified. And so your brain was just wrong. That's okay.
Right. And I think, and my mother, I had lost a brother when I was younger, and yeah. It wasn't anything like this at all. But I watched my mother go through losing a child, and it was very similar to this. And so I feel like maybe I'm modeling a little bit of that, you know, somewhere. I don't know. She was sensitive as well. So I think, you know, I watched that and I watched her, and maybe I learned some things from that. And I felt ashamed because I was younger. So I think I felt like it was abnormal, but it really, she lost her son. So it wasn't abnormal.
Yeah. Right. And you get to decide for you right now in every moment, what's going to be your normal.
Right. Yeah, I like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thank Is there you. Anything else? Thank you. Thanks for coming
There's
on.
Lots today. Of stuff, but I think one at a time.
Okay. I'm with you.
Yeah.
Thank you very awesome. Much.
Thank okay. you. Thank uh-huh. you.
Thank you. Well, our call, I'm putting you back to attendee. Thank you so much for being with me on my first call. I'm really thankful for all of you. I appreciate everyone who raised their hand. I'm not going to get to everyone, but if you have a specific question, please feel free to put it in the Q&A, and we will get answers for those. And I just want to thank you all so much for being here. And I look forward to many more calls with you, and take care of yourselves. Thanks again. Bye now.